light and your truth. Let them lead us and draw us to your dwelling place. Amen. You may be seated. It is sometimes amazing to think about the ways in which history is a lot closer to us than we might initially think. Some of those things that we saw or are seeing in textbooks, those things in black and white pictures, they didn't happen that long ago. I saw a post on social media this week that made me stop and think for a minute. And it was making the point that Wyatt Earp, the famous lawman of the Wild Wild West, he died less than 100 years ago. I believe it's 1929. It's wild. The Wild Wild West, less than 100 years. In a similar vein, I have to remind myself that my grandmother, my grandma, my dad's mom, she was born 10 years before Martin Luther King Jr. It's often easy to forget how close some of the things we learn about are to our lives, here and now. And that there are those among us who have lived through history and can share its lessons with us. It's also a sobering reminder that things were very different from the way that they are now, not too long ago. In some ways good, and of course some ways very bad. Not always, but often the answer to the question, was it always like this, is a resounding no. As I was coming again to the story of Candlemas for our service today, I was drawn to this idea, this proximity of history through the eyes of Simeon, and especially Anna. What had they seen in their long lead up to beholding God himself entering the temple? And I say especially Anna, the prophet who was in the temple daily in prayer and in worship, because with her, we can get pretty specific. Luke tells us her age, that she's 84 years old in the time when she sees the baby Jesus in the temple. And that gives us a pretty precise timeline for her life. Now, just as an aside, because of a 5th/6th century monk's accounting error, our calendar of BC and AD, of course based on the birth of Jesus, it's off by about 4 to 6 years. Herod the Great, who is the reason that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph flee to Egypt, in Matthew's Gospel, historians put his death, Herod the Great, in the year 4 BC. Meaning, it's widely understood that Jesus was born not in AD 1, but somewhere between the years of 6 and 4 BC. So if Anna was 84 in the year 4 BC, because as Jesus, Mary, and Joseph come into the temple, that means her birth would have been around the year 88 BC. And I think this is interesting, and bear with me, because this places Anna's birth and her first 24 years of life before the coming of the emperor Pompey into Jerusalem in the year 64 BC. Anna was living before the full Roman occupation of God's people. Anna grew up and into adulthood in the late period of what we call the Hasmonean period of Israelite history. And so she herself is a direct connection between the life of Jesus and this period in the history of God's people. And so I want to share a little bit about these Hasmonean rulers. Now, the Hasmoneans, they were a series of Jewish rulers who led an independent state of Israel for about 100 years there in the years leading up to Jesus' birth. The Bible, of course, tells us of the empires that ruled and oppressed God's people. You will hear often in the scriptures about the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and the Persians. But after the days of the prophets, and before the days of Jesus, Israel and Judah, they were under the control of Greek and Seleucid empires. The latter bringing such persecution of the people and desecration of the temple. At one point, they sacrificed unclean animals in the temple, a sacrifice of pigs, just a desolation of the temple. And things got so bad that there was a boiling point, and violent revolution broke out. And that revolution worked, at least for a little while. But very quickly, the ruling Hasmoneans caved to interior corruption, oppression of their own people, and the influence of outside political forces. The story of the Hasmonean rulers, if you're to read it, it reads a little bit like a bad geopolitical soap opera. And in fact, by the time that the Romans came, the Roman Emperor Pompey came in and officially took control of Jerusalem. This is again when Anna would have been about 24 years old. They appointed one of the Hasmonean rulers as high priests. And so this dynasty that initially revolted against the empire bent its knee to Rome for a cushy job and a comfortable life. So Anna had seen the emptiness of human revolution and the broken promises, many broken promises, of change for the better. She had seen the fruit of the violent seizure of political power and knew that that sort of so-called liberation to be vacuous, empty. Anna was looking for a different kind of Messiah. And so when a poor family from Nazareth came to bring their modest offering of two birds to the temple, Anna didn't miss that there was something special about the baby who had just been born. And there was something different about this king, thanks be to God. Instead of defining his kingdom by the amount of territory he controlled, or how many people groups he had under his thumb, his kingdom was one that, as he would proclaim himself in his hometown synagogue, brought good news to those who are poor, sight to those who are blind, and liberty to those who are captives. His was not a proclamation of defeat of all other nations by his own, but the good news of God's reign for the blessing of all the people of the earth. It is just as Simeon sings over the baby Jesus, God's salvation meant that all people would not be conquered, but that they would be given the light. So when I read this story, I marvel at the faith of Anna. Despite all of the suffering that she had witnessed, look at how she demonstrated her faith, daily worshiping in the temple. All the times that her hopes had been dashed, both personally, in the untimely death of her husband, and in this broader disappointment of her people's failed attempt at independence, Anna had every reason to give up. And yet she didn't. She's a prime example of one who was ready for Jesus to come. An example for us as we await his return. Anna was ready. Like those who wait for the bridegroom and their lamps are full of oil. I think back on that day, it would have been so easy to dismiss a baby, as undoubtedly many did that day that Jesus was brought into the temple. But it was Anna and Simeon who, through the Holy Spirit, were able to see that God himself had entered his house. Babies, of course, are cute, sure. And we might wave to them or smile when they make noise, but I don't think any of us would have been in the synagogue that day thinking that God would show up in the form of a baby. Yet somehow, Anna and Simeon were ready to receive God on his own terms from an unexpected place. Are we willing to seek the Lord where he is to be found, on his terms? Or are we too busy monitoring our own expectations and demands of God to recognize him when he draws near? There were many who were anxiously awaiting deliverance in Israel. It wasn't just Simeon and Anna. Many of whom undoubtedly longed for those Hasmonean days of independence, projecting their expectations for how God should act onto him. But not so with Anna, not so with Simeon. They were listening to the Holy Spirit, looking for God's work in the unexpected places, and they rejoiced when they found him. Are we willing to do the same? This meant a lot of waiting faithfully in the lives of Simeon and Anna. In Anna's case, 84 years. In that time, I'm sure she came up with many different ways that seemed like the best solution to her problems. But when she saw God's solution, she didn't hold back. And that's the thing about Anna. Once she saw Jesus, she couldn't stop telling people about him. Verse 38 of Luke 2 says that she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna and Simeon, they weren't the only ones who were looking for God to redeem Israel, I say again. There were probably as many ideas about how God should redeem Israel as there were people longing for that day. But once Anna saw the way, she couldn't help but show that way to others. Her life of prayer and worship had prepared her for this moment to recognize the work of God in Jesus and to tell others about it. And we live today in the midst of times that are a lot more similar to the days of Simeon and Anna than we might think. Even now, even today, there are worries about global economic issues, conflict in Eastern Europe, division at home, and even in the church. There are a lot of ideas circulating about how we ought to fix things. Friends, we have encountered Jesus. We have been ushered into the kingdom of God. In a world clamoring for answers, we must never forget that our first answer is the gospel. That Jesus has come into the world for us, that he died and rose again. And sometimes that message is going to sound just as outlandish as a woman in the temple saying that some baby is God himself. But all the same, let us seek to invite others to seek the Lord while he is to be found. The joy of this feast of Candlemas, of Christ coming into his own temple as a baby, it's the good news that God saw fit to come and take on human form for our sakes, to redeem us to himself. The author of Hebrews puts the importance of the incarnation in this way, as we heard just a moment ago. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. God comes to us in Jesus, fully divine, yet fully human as well. He experienced the temptations and the weaknesses of humanity, yet without sin. He knows our needs because he experienced them. He comes vulnerable, not even coming into his own temple under his own power, but carried by Mary and Joseph. This is not the change promised by a political messiah forged through culture wars or literal battles. This is the Word becoming flesh and making his dwelling among us. Simeon and Anna, they saw the Lord who took on their humanity, and they worshiped and rejoiced. Simeon broke out in song. Anna couldn't stop telling others about him. The Lord looks for such followers today. May we answer his call. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.